to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Friday, and we are glad to be with you here. Friday, February the 17th is the date. We have a fantastic show. We have lots of great things lined up for you. Let's kick it off as we do each day with prayer. Today we'll pray St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. And strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So we got lots of great things lined up on the program. So glad you could join us today. And please continue to let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning. Get the word out. Let them know that we're here to start your day off right every day. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be visited by Tony Rossi from the Christophers, who's going to be teaching us to think more clearly. Check that out. This is going to be a really interesting one. I think that's something we all need. Later on in the hour, Dan Burke will be taking us into the deep. We'll learn more about prayer. Something today we're going to be talking about is discovery prayer. So stick with us for that. We have our usual assortment of music. We have the gospel coming up momentarily. We have so much else. Plus, we have, as we do each day, Mr. Dave Parker.
Hey, Gary. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you today?
I'm well. How'd it go last night at Rose of Lima?
St. Rose of Lima in North Wales. Saint was Rose. Great. We had a sellout. It was a packed house. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. I gave a talk on moving from fear to faith there. So if anyone is listening from last night, a lot of people said they liked the show and mm-hmm. were interested, if they didn't know about the show, in listening. If you're listening from St. Rose, thank you for inviting me to speak, and I hope you'll stick with us on Spirit in the Morning. Hey, Dave, you know, big news. We are only a few weeks away from getting ready to broadcast live at Man Up Philly at the conference.
Can't wait.
March the 4th, direct
it's
from
like
St.
Three weeks
Joe's.
Away.
Direct from St. Joe's University. Yeah, 3 weeks away. We have on the line with us one of the headline speakers mm-hmm. from Man Up Philly. Damon Owens is with us. Hey, Damon, good morning, brother.
Good morning, brothers. Great to be with you.
Great to have you here. So, Damon, we're getting really excited about the conference, and we're going to be doing a live four-hour broadcast special Saturday edition of Spirit in the Morning. You're going to be one of the speakers. What's going to be your message, just in brief? What are you going to be talking about?
Well, the theme this year is Men on a Mission.
Mm.
And my work in theology of the body for almost 20 years now, it really is focusing on joy. And I feel like these days we have so much strife, so much anger, so much rancor, and even among believers where, you know, we take on, particularly in the West and in the Northeast mm-hmm. of the U.S., and we take on this sense of everything's a battle, everything's win or lose, everything is, you know, when I win, someone loses, and we don't articulate it that way. But I think it hurts the message, it hurts the gospel, it hurts the Christian witness, and we are in a battle, no doubt about it. Mostly spiritual, certainly some in the natural, but the bottom line is what attracts, what draws, is the desire for joy and the realization that it's Jesus Christ who fulfills this joy. Wow. And I believe that the theology of the body is a way to address the serious and important issues in our lives as husbands, as sons, as fathers, as brothers, but really as our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't look and express and experience joy through love, we're not going to attract anybody.
Exactly, exactly. That's so important. Damon, there is probably somebody listening right now, a man who is maybe on the fence about Man Up Philly, thinking that, I don't want to go. It's going to be boring. I don't do that kind of thing. If you could, talk directly to that man right now and tell him why he should be there.
Hey, listen, there are issues going on in our own lives. One could be a tyranny of the immediate, where there's always something going on, and it takes us away. And it's only until that still quietness and we're going to bed or when we wake up in the morning that we realize we're missing something. You know, these men's conferences are a chance for us to get together as men, not to separate for separation's sake, but really to separate in that retreat sense in order to come back to our lives and to live them in the fullness that God wants for them. And there's a special gathering when men can speak about masculine spirituality. This isn't a chest beating. This isn't about, you know, rah-rah. It really is about coming to a strong sense of the unique gift that you have for your family, for your coworkers, for your friends, and realizing that in and through your masculinity, God is calling you to become someone for others. And only in this environment can you come to that realization. There's something special. If you've been there before, you sense something really good about that. And I want to encourage you to hear the speakers and the points that are covered this year. There's only so much you can cover.
Right.
If you have never been, you are in for one of the greatest experiences of your life, to be gathered in prayer and fellowship with other men.
And let me give a little personal testimony. Damon, I've heard you speak before. I was at the Scranton Men's Conference a few years ago, and you were one of the featured speakers.
Yes.
You're good. You're a good speaker, man. And you know what?
I got the Lord.
Hey, you
it's
do.
The Lord.
And you do. And you're a good singer, too, because you sang a little for us that day.
Yeah, it bubbles out. Even when I don't remember, it bubbles out. The music, lyrics and music to being Christian, and I like to bring them both.
Yeah, you do, and you do a great job.
Yeah, and Damon, hi, this is Dave. I saw you at the old St. Andrew Church.
Yes.
Sponsor. You were brought in by Barry Pine and the church. And you did theology of the body in a very, very condensed way, and it was awesome.
Yeah, you know, that was a special group of men there at St. Andrew. What a great gathering. And you're right. When we come together, there's a whole new approach to the theology of the body that is specific but important to men. And that just turns on when I can look out and see men who are just asking the fundamental question, why am I here? What truly makes me happy? What am I missing? And there are answers to that really light up everyone's face. So I encourage every man in listening range here, give it a shot. Come on out. Hear some of these things, and the Lord will bless that effort to be with us on Saturday, March the 4th at St. Joe's University.
Wow. Damon, I really appreciate you taking some time to be with us this morning. I know you have to head to Daily Mass, but where can we follow you online if we want to find out more about your message here, you know, maybe see some of your material and where you might be appearing in the near future besides Man Up Philly? Where can we follow you online?
Yeah, the Joy to Be is my new ministry, JOYTOB, the Joy to Be, JOYTOB.org. And again, bringing together these great principles of leading with joy, the theology of the body, and being family and marriage for a culture and for ourselves. Joy to Be, JOYTOB.org.
Excellent. We will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Brother, thanks so much for being on with us. Look forward to seeing you in a few weeks at Man Up Philly.
I'm excited. We're coming up.
All right, man. Damon Owens, thanks so much for joining us. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Damon Owens getting ready for his appearance at Man Up Philly. So remember, if you are a man and you're on the fence, I say go for it. You will not be disappointed. We had Eustace Mita on a few weeks ago. Eustace said, give it a shot. Go one time and see what happens. Dave's been there. I've been there. Frank has been there. Everybody at the station has been here or there at one time or another. You go back once you go one time, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah. This will be my fourth year, I believe. Yeah. Consecutive year. It's awesome. It's so uplifting. You need to go.
Right.
You need to go.
And if you can't get there in person, we are going to be broadcasting live from Man Up Philly, special Saturday edition of Spirit in the Morning on March the 4th. So make sure you tune us in. Let's do the gospel now, today's gospel. Now, if you remember yesterday, Jesus had a tough message for his disciples. That tough message will continue today. We're reading from Mark chapter 8, verses 34, beginning in verse 34, and then ending in Mark 9, chapter 1. So actually spanning chapters of Mark here. Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Jesus also said to them, "Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power."
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot, Dave, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What's happening here is Jesus, first of all, yesterday we heard him tell his disciples, really we're talking about the apostles here. They're referred to as the disciples because they are disciples, they're followers. He's telling them, guys, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to die. I will rise on the third day. He's really laying it all out for them. Some tough news. And then today, he really takes it to the next level and lets them know that they're going to be in on this suffering too. And Jesus says, and this message is for all of us, if you want to follow me, you need to pick up your cross every day. Mm-hmm. You're going to have something every day. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be major suffering, but you'll have something unpleasant, right, Dave? There's always some annoyance. There's some cross for you to carry
every day. It could be picayune, if you will, or it can be major.
Right.
But the thing is, we have to pick it up.
Right. And Jesus is then saying, if you want to save your life, in other words, if you want to hold on and don't turn control over to me, ultimately, you're going to lose it because you're not going to be with me in heaven.
Yeah.
He's really clear about that.
Yeah.
If you want to be with him, you have to give up your life.
Yes.
Really, Lord, it's yours. I give it all up to you. I do everything for you. That's the message.
Exactly. And is well, if it's problematic for you, and do what Gary just said. Give it up. I mean, you have to give it up. There has to be an act of will.
It starts with that,
It starts with that. Yeah. You know, even though you don't want to, sometimes you got to do it.
And if you're afraid to really turn your life over to Christ, I would say that to him. Jesus, I'm afraid to turn my life over
to
you.
Help me.
Right?
Yeah.
We had Kevin Vost on this week, Monday, talking about the gift of fortitude, the gift of the Holy Spirit of fortitude. And he talked about that prayer, Lord,
exactly.
Give me strength. That's something we could pray for. Finally, in this gospel, Jesus said, there were some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power. In tomorrow's gospel reading, you're going to see, if you follow the daily gospel readings, the transfiguration. Mm. When Jesus took his disciples, specifically Peter, James, and John, up to the mountain, after he gave them this tough news and gave them a glimpse of him in his glory, he let them see heaven, essentially.
Yes, he did. Yes.
That's the light at the end of the tunnel. So if it seems tough to give your life up to the Lord and pick up your cross, always keep the final goal in mind, heaven, total paradise, no problems, no suffering. It's promised to us as long as we follow the Lord. It's a really sweet deal. Listen, stay where you are. Grab a cup of coffee. Grab some bacon and eggs. Whatever you have to do. We're going to be back on the other side with Tony Rossi from The Christopher. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 17th. Today we celebrate the seven founders of the Servite Order. What is the likelihood of seven prominent men who live in a cultured, prosperous city, agreeing to leave their homes and professions and taking up a communal life of self-denial? That's precisely what seven noblemen of Florence, Italy did in the year 1240. They withdrew from the city, relocated, and moved to a secluded setting for solitude, prayer, and penance. At least, that was their goal. But the men soon found themselves disturbed by constant visitors from nearby Florence, and so they withdrew to the deserted slopes of Monte Cenario. Visitors found their way to the new location as well, many of whom stayed to join the group. They adopted a religious habit similar to that worn by Dominicans, chose to live under Augustinian rule, and called themselves the Servites, or the Order of Friar Servants of Mary. Community members combined monastic life and active ministry. In the monastery, they led a life of prayer, work, and silence, while also engaging in parish work, teaching, and preaching. Servites came to the U.S. from Austria in 1852, settling in New York and later in Philadelphia. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Deliver me, oh God.
I Shall Not Want by Audrey Assad. That's the first time we ever played that on the show. Dave, that's based on the prayer, the Litany of Humility. That's a really popular Catholic prayer. Beautiful song, Audrey Assad. I'm Gary Zimek here with Dave Parker. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Very briefly, let me run over the weather today. Today it's going to be sunny in the Philadelphia area with a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 33. Dave, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Saturday, mostly sunny, with a high near 63 degrees.
Wow.
Yes, man. Woo. Right now, that's pretty good. Right now,
yeah, especially for February.
Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 28 degrees. Bensalem, it's 28 degrees. In Coatesville, it's 22 degrees. And in Yardley, it is 25 degrees.
Maybe get ready and go and do some yard work or gardening.
That's right.
Before the next snowstorm.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Dave, let me ask you a question.
Hey, Gare, what's up?
Do you sometimes struggle to think clearly?
Oh, no, Gary, never.
Well, good news. We have somebody with us now that can help us with that very subject. Our buddy Tony Christopher. our buddy Tony Rossi is with us from the Christophers.
Gary, say, you talking
Tony,
to me?
I'm struggling. I need your help, brother. How you doing?
It's a, you know, it's tough to think clearly at this hour of the morning anyway, so I commend you on all that you do, and you do it well every day.
But I could always use a little advice for thinking more clearly. And, Tony, before we start, I want to share some news with you as well as our listeners. Beginning on Sunday, March the 5th, we at Holy Spirit Radio will begin airing the weekly Christopher Close-Up program, 4:30 wow. on Sunday.
That is great news, and I know you've helped play a part in that, so thank you. We're thrilled to be a part of the that Holy Spirit family, and of course, you will be the guest. So
oh, what a coincidence! We just so happened to pick that one to start with.
So, is that a.m. or p.m.?
No. p.m., Mr.
Oh,
Parker.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, it was great to be be interviewed by you, Tony. It was really nice. You do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. So I turned the tables on you for a change.
I know.
Asking me questions, so I got to do it for you for a change.
I appreciate that. So that's going to be the debut broadcast of Christopher Close-Up. Will be Sunday, March the 5th at 4:30, and I will be the guest. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Tony, this
first
is...
first Sunday of Lent, I believe.
Ah, perfect, perfect. Tony, this is a great topic today. You're going to talk about something, really an original Christopher News note that was published way back in 1963, I think.
Yeah, it was. I was going through some old Christopher News notes written by our founder, Father Keller, and mm-hmm. I was surprised at how both timely and timeless some of them were. You know, if you tweak some of the you know, almost too dated things in there, the ideas were really strong, and one of them was called Teach Yourself to Think More Clearly. And it just seems like it's a very relevant, timely idea, because all of us have the human temptation to act on emotion, on impulse, or according to what we want to be true instead of looking at the facts and following them towards the truth. So
right.
This is like 10 easy steps just to help yourself to calm down in these very, you know, politically charged times. Everybody's very excitable.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a prompt to calm down and teach yourself to think and ask the right questions.
I like it. Well, if you're ready, let's try to work through the steps, if we could.
All right. Well, let me start with one of my favorites, which is think objectively. Because this one, I think, is really hard. Because, again, we do have these preconceived notions of what we want to be true.
Right.
And let me give you an example that's actually not in this Christopher News note, but it's because next week I'm interviewing the screenwriter of an upcoming movie called The Case for Christ, which is based on a book by Lee Strobel.
Ooh.
And Strobel was a journalist who was an atheist. His wife converted to Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and he set out to disprove what she believed. He wanted to prove Christianity was wrong. And in doing all his interviews and everything, he came to believe that Christianity was true. So here was somebody who had a preconceived notion that
yeah.
he wanted to follow, but he was honest enough to let the facts lead him toward the truth, which in this case was the faith. So to me, that is the kind of example we should all follow. Let's just take a look at what we believe, what the facts are, and follow them towards the truth.
Very good, very good. What's the next one?
Next one, I would say, is also do your own thinking. I think when a lot of us read newspapers, sometimes we don't read beyond the headline, and that's something
yep.
I've done too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, the headline says that so-and-so said this quote, and it's designed to kind of rile you up and make you angry. But then when I've read the article and the quote is in context and everything, it's not quite saying what the headline is saying. So this requires, I think, a little more effort and research on our part to look into what is being said. You know, don't just believe what somebody else is telling you to believe. We have to form our own opinions based on the facts we investigate, not just the spin and everything. So I think that's another crucial one.
I want to share one with you that I think is one of my favorites, Think Hopefully. And
yeah.
This one really touches me. And the reason behind this is 5 years ago, I got laid off from my day job. I was a software developer, and I got this crazy idea to go into full-time Catholic ministry. There have been many times throughout the past 5 years when I thought, you know what, this is not going to work. This is crazy. This is insane. And amazingly enough, the Lord, you know, I'd have these moments of crisis, but the Lord would always come through for me. But I was on the verge of quitting so many times. If we don't think hopefully, and I'm not saying think unrealistically, but mm-hmm. if we don't really expect God to be God and acknowledge the fact that he can perform miracles, we can often thwart his work in our lives, can't we, if we're not thinking hopefully?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If we're thinking pessimistically, sometimes right. we are the creators of our own misfortune.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, we can't move forward unless we have something positive to move forward to. It doesn't mean it's always going to work out the way we want.
Right.
We have to kind of go along with God's plan for us. But if you expect the worst, generally you're going to get the worst.
Wow.
So
thinking
hopefully is the better way to go.
Yeah. What's another one you might want to suggest?
Well, another one is think charitably. Again, today's times, we tend to often think the worst of other people if they say something to us, if they disagree with us. But we're really supposed to think charitably towards all. Every single person is made in the image and likeness of God. Some people hide it really well. But
well said.
Are you talking about Dave? You're talking about Dave Parker, aren't you? You're right, though.
But it's something we have to remind ourselves of. I know there's a story about Saint Therese who had a nun who she really did not care for in the convent, but she always made a decision to act charitably toward that nun.
Yeah.
And eventually the sister came to think that Saint Therese loved her instead of, you know, that she was annoyed by her. She was so friendly towards her. So I think that's because that can also affect the way people treat us if we think charitably of others. Maybe they will think charitably towards us, and we'll get a little more peace at our time.
I know you're on Facebook. I mean, can you imagine what a different place Facebook would be if everyone thought charitably and maybe respected the opinions of the other person, even if they disagree with them?
Actually, if everybody just stopped, calmed down, thought objectively, thought charitably, thought hopefully, Facebook, I think, would be, and Twitter, too, would be much more...
Wow, what a concept.
A better place
right?
to be affirming,
I agree with you. How about this is one, this kind of, I can relate to this one, too. Take a look at your own faults.
Yeah, that's crucially important. It's you know, looking at the log in your own eye instead of the splinter in your brother's eye. And it's important that one of the examples in the news note here is a mother asked her little girl if she knew what conscience was, and the girl said, "Yes, conscience is what tells me when Johnny is doing something wrong." So it's always easier to point out, you know, what the little brother is doing wrong instead of looking at ourselves. But that's crucial too, because we need to to see how are we acting. Are we acting according to our principles instead of just expecting everyone else to act according to our principles? Because again, this affects how we exist in the world and our relationships with others.
And you know what? That's what I love about the message of the Christophers, because your message is all about what I can do. I can change the world. There's something that I can do. Rather than complain about all the problems and all the craziness, I can do something, and we should all go and do it. Really, that's the message we have to remember. Now, Tony, we only have about 30 seconds left. Unfortunately, I knew this was going to fly by. I will have this article linked at spiritinthemorning.com. But again, can you remind us where we can follow you online?
Yeah, you can go to christophers.org, and that's there you can find links to our blog. You can find links to our Twitter page, Facebook, to get news notes, to read them online, and podcasts and everything. So we got a lot of information and links at christophers.org.
Excellent. Tony Rossi, thanks for joining us once again on Spirit in the Morning. God bless you, brother.
God bless you too, Gary.
All right, thank you. When we come back, we're going into the deep with Dan Burke. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Senate Republicans plan to use their majority power to confirm President Donald Trump's nominee to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, despite calls from Democrats for a delay. A vote on Scott Pruitt's nomination is set for today. A state judge in Oklahoma has ordered Pruitt to release thousands of emails that he exchanged with oil and gas executives by next week. Pruitt, who is Oklahoma's attorney general, has refused to release those emails for more than 2 years. Vice Admiral Robert Harward has backed out of becoming President Trump's national security advisor. He says, quote, "It's purely a personal issue." Earlier this week, National Security Advisor Michael Flynn was forced to resign following revelations that he misled Vice President Mike Pence about discussing sanctions with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. before Trump was sworn in as president. And the Washington State Supreme Court has ruled unanimously that a Christian florist who refused to provide floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding broke the state's anti-discrimination law. Baronelle Stutzman, a florist in Richland, Washington, had previously sold the couple flowers and knew they were gay, but told them she couldn't provide flowers for their wedding because the redefinition of marriage was incompatible with her Christian beliefs. Stutzman argued she was exercising her First Amendment rights, but the court held that her floral arrangements do not constitute protected free speech. Stutzman's lawyers immediately said they would ask the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the decision. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. For her autistic son Dylan's 14th birthday, Jody Green surprised him with a special guest at his party. A vacuum cleaner salesman. Since age 2, Dylan has had a passion for vacuum cleaners, especially the Cleveland-based Kirby brand. Jody wrote a letter to Kirby headquarters asking if one of their salesmen could come to their Virginia home and do a demo at Dylan's party. They happily obliged, sending Al Archie, a 25-year veteran of the company. Dylan was thrilled by the demonstration, but ecstatic when Archie gave the teen his own brand new Kirby vacuum. Despite the fact that Kirbys are not cheap, Archie explained that he simply wanted to do something special for Dylan. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Yeah.
And that was Call It Grace by Unspoken. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Your time right now is 7:36. Dan Burke is an author and a frequent speaker on the topic of Catholic spirituality. He's the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register, and he is also the president of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation and the creator of Divine Intimacy Radio and SpiritualDirection.com. And each week, Dan is kind enough to join us on Friday to go into the deep, which is a segment that we do based on his new book, Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer. He's with us once again. Hey, Dan, good morning, brother.
Hey, Gary, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm getting ready to go into the deep once again. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. I like that's what I like to hear.
Yeah, Gary has a scuba gear on.
So yeah, we're really going into the deep.
You know what? He looks very strange in that scuba gear.
Yeah, it's hard to do radio in my scuba gear. So, Dan, over the past few weeks, we've talked about the importance of praying daily, starting with maybe 5-10 minutes a day if you're not used to it. We talked about it's not as important what you say as the fact that you are talking to the Lord every day. And you tried to emphasize, and I totally agree with this, that we need to make a commitment. We need to say consciously, I am going to pray every day for X number of minutes. Now, today, as we're just a few weeks away from Lent, I thought it would be good to really dig into this concept, that a certain type of prayer that you put forth in your book, Into the Deep, and that's discovery prayer. So, Dan, could you maybe introduce this idea of discovery prayer, what it is, and how it can benefit us?
Well, it's important to note that I didn't invent discovery prayer. It's mm-hmm. actually been in the church for more than 1,000 years. Mm. It's what's known as Lectio Divina,
right,
which just means divine reading. And the reason it's been in the church for 1,000 years is because it's produced a saint after saint. It has produced more than any other kind of prayer that I'm aware of, a kind of fruit of union and intimacy with the Lord, such that it has survived and thrived and has never really waned. Now, in our time, this book was written to really reach out to those who may not be all that interested in reading Latin phrases and things mm-hmm. like that. So we call it discovery prayer because basically what happens when you engage with Lectio Divina, you discover Jesus, you discover yourself, you discover sin, you discover grace, you discover joy. All the things that God has for you come out of relationship with Him. The Catechism says the entire divine economy, all that He's given us in grace, is oriented toward bringing us to union with Him. And so Lectio Divina is just an incredibly powerful way, a simple way of engaging with Scripture to come to know Jesus and to love Him and to follow Him and to hear from Him.
Wow. You mean to tell me that by reading the Bible, I can actually encounter Jesus more closely?
Now, yes. Now, let me just qualify that. Mm-hmm. It's not just a reading,
uh-huh.
you know. So it's really a drawing in to a kind of intimacy with God. For instance, you know, it wouldn't be enough for you to know good ideas about your wife or have read
yes.
Something about your wife or have somebody listened to what somebody else said to you about your wife. That would have been insufficient for holy union, joyful union. But instead, you have to enter into relationship with her. You have to dialogue with her. You have to experience her in your ups and downs in life, all of those things. And so it's not merely a reading like you would read a textbook or like you would read even a spiritual reading, an important book.
Right.
But it's an entering into the Word of God. And the Word of God is far more than ink and paper. It's not just material. It has a spiritual dimension. It's living. It's the scripture. I think St. Paul called it a two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit. And so, the Word of God is alive and living, and it's engaging with that living reality of Christ, the Word, among us that we are transformed and find that all the graces God has for us in that relationship.
What you're saying is incredibly powerful, and I'm sitting here listening to this, and I don't know if I told you this, but the reason I first asked you to be on the show was I heard you on the radio talking about this, and specifically, and I've known you for years, Dan, but you were specifically talking about when we enter into this relationship with the Lord, or when we practice discovery prayer, we are not simply reading. We're not just speed reading through the Bible, and you can actually ask questions. You can have this dialogue going both ways. That's a concept that many people are unfamiliar with. And Dan, to be totally honest, I struggle with this because when I read the Bible, I have to force myself to practice this discovery prayer or Lectio Divina because I'm a speed reader by nature.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a reason Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the road to heaven is narrow and difficult, and the road to hell is easy.
Wow.
You know, prayer in the catechism, it describes prayer. There's one header under which it describes prayer as a battle. The work of the interior life is not a work for cowards or sissies. It's not a work for people who are half-hearted. The work of the interior life is far more challenging than what you or I do on radio or when we write books or we go speaking, because it really in many ways is a purifying reality that militates against our busyness. Yeah. You know, we train ourselves to immerse ourselves in noise day and night. I mean, if you wanted to change your life for Lent, just start tracking the number of hours you spend engaging in noise, even good noise of one kind or another.
Yeah.
And most of us would be surprised that it's noise is constantly with us, whereas silence, coming to intimacy and quiet with the Lord, is so rare. And so we've trained ourselves to essentially not hear God. We've trained ourselves to be busy, to hide from who we are and from who he wants us to be. And so the hard work of the interior life is we would be misleading if we didn't say that it was a great challenge, but also has among the greatest rewards we can know in life.
And you know what's great about your message, and obviously there's an eternal reward that can come out of all this, but I would think one of the immediate rewards or the immediate fruits that we see when we start engaging in a deeper prayer life is peace. And who's not looking for peace these days?
Yeah, so we just talked about the battle, right?
Right.
But if you don't climb the mountain, you don't get to see the great valleys and vistas and the beauty and the colors, and you don't get to get above the tree line and see all that God has created. You don't get to experience that reality. So the difficulty can coexist with joy and peace, whereas in the world, all you get is difficulty, suffering, and pain with no joy and peace, with no eternal reward.
Right.
So I don't know about you, Gary, but I'd rather get bloody for Jesus and fight and suffer for the Lord because of that great joy and peace than suffer for nothing.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that,
Amen,
brother.
On that one.
That's one of the reasons we have you on this show, because I think this is so important. This is a great concept. Now, we only have about a minute left. I knew this was going to happen. That's why this is a weekly series, Dan. What could you say? Now, there are five steps with the discovery prayer. Could you just give like a brief overview? What's the next step? What is the takeaway from this idea of discovery prayer? And we'll talk more about it in the weeks to come.
Well, in the weeks to come, we'll talk about reading, reflecting, responding, resting, and resolving. These are each just basic steps of drawing ourselves ever more deeply into Scripture, learning to listen to God, but in a very unique way of reading. We can talk about that next week.
Yeah.
How to read in a way that totally changes your orientation of normal reading from any other text you might pick up.
Right.
That will have an immediate effect on you as you enter into prayer. So I look forward to digging in with you on that.
Yeah. And you know what's really neat about this? If someone reads one of your books or one of my books, they can't converse with us as they're reading the book, unless we happen to be present with them. But when you're reading Sacred Scripture, for instance, you can have a conversation with the author of Sacred Scripture as you're reading it, right? Isn't that great?
either that or he's a liar.
Yep.
You know,
there you
the
go.
The Holy Spirit said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And our God's not a liar.
No,
and he's
he
going to meet you there if you give him your time.
Dan, thank you so much for being with us again. You know I love these segments. Thanks for taking the time. You're a busy guy with all of your work at EWTN and at spiritualdirection.com. Thanks for coming on.
God bless, Gary.
God bless. We'll see you next time. Dan Burke, the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register. You can follow him online. He does great work at spiritualdirection.com. Check him out today. Spiritualdirection.com. When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
Got a ticket coming home. Wish the officer had known what a day today has been. Then I stumbled through the door, dropping junk mail on the floor. When will this day end? But then your letter caught my eye, brought the hope in me to life. 'Cause you know me very well, and I bet you wrote me just to tell me, Ellen, why will we with the Father? Can't you see him smile? In a little while, we'll be home forever. In a while, we're just here to learn to love him. We'll be home in just a little while. Boy, that letter made me think of all I've got and all that waits for me. Guess I've known it all day long. Wonder where my thoughts went wrong. When will my heart believe? Waking halfway through the night, like these are just a test of our will. Will we walk or will we fall? Well, I can almost see the top of the hill, and I believe it's worth it all. In a little while we'll be with the Father. Can't you see him smile?
In a Little While by Amy Grant. You know, that's an old song. That song goes back to 1981. And let me give you the backstory on that. First of all, I love the song. It's all about, you know, you've got problems in life, you got struggles, you got difficulties. Relatively speaking, all of these problems, they're going to only be here for a short time. In a little while, our hope is that we will be with our Heavenly Father, living in eternal happiness. What a great thought, especially as you're struggling. And let me share a little personal note on that song. Kathy Gasson, who was a big part of Holy Spirit Radio, that was one of her favorite songs. Mm-hmm. And I played it on my monthly show when I used to do the Following the Truth show. Kathy loved that song. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the time, we talked about it. It was shortly before her unexpected death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess it's a reminder. You know, I still feel her presence.
Oh,
and
so
Dave,
do I.
I know you do, too.
Oh, I do, too. She's, yeah. She taught me the production aspect of this, and she's always on my shoulder.
Yep. She's keeping an eye on us because certainly we need that. Right?
She's so good. We miss her.
But Kathy, she unexpectedly got called home, you know, and you just never know.
Thing. Oh, yeah. So, we were all shocked.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it happens in many lives.
But she always had that hope. Living with her Heavenly Father. That's why she liked the song so much. Anyway, so I thought I just wanted to play it. I was touched by it, and it's a powerful message. One for you today if you are struggling. Just know that this is all temporary. The problems that we face, the cross that we carry each day, it's temporary. It will be gone one day.
That was
so
nice, Gare. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and I thought of the song. I thought of Kathy. I remember her comments on it, and I thought it was time to play it. So that was Amy Grant in a little while, way back from 1981. Mm-hmm. Time for our Be Not Afraid Bible verse, Psalm 119, 165. Very simple. Lovers of your law have much peace. For them there is no stumbling block. What does that mean? The message is this. If you want peace in life, do it God's way. Very simple. Sometimes it's counterintuitive. I think that, wait a minute, the law. I don't like the law. Don't tell me. Nobody tells me what to do, even God. I don't want to listen to the church. What does the church know? But honestly, that's the way you're going to have peace, by following God's law. Why? Because he made us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what makes us happy. So by following God's will for your life, you will be happy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have this fallen human nature, gets in the way. We think that I'm going to be happy doing what I want, not what God's will. Yeah.
And the world reinforces that very way.
Yes, the world does.
The world way. Yeah.
And look, I've been there. I've fallen victim to that faulty line of thinking. Well, I'm going to do what I want. I know what the church says, but I'll do it my way.
Me too.
I wasn't happy. Maybe I was happy temporarily, instantaneously, but it doesn't last. So keep that in mind. The real way to happiness is following God's law. He knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
He's God, right? And that's trust him on that one. He really knows what he's doing. Let's do a quick look at the sports. Dave Parker, it is not good news today. The Flyers last night, 6-3, lost to Edmonton.
Wow.
It was the Flyers' fifth loss in their last six games. That's not good.
I thought we're going to end on a high note on Friday.
I would like to. We'll come up with a way to end on
come
a high
on,
note.
Come on, teams.
And
help us out here.
Coupled with the New York Islanders' win on Thursday, the Flyers now fell a spot in the standings and now have to climb over two teams to get into a playoff position. That it's impossible, but it got a little more difficult. And in college basketball, Drexel was defeated by Delaware last night in a nail biter, 68-67.
Okay. Well, so, nail biters, I can understand.
What's going on with the local sports though, Dave? I need some good news. Oh, the Phillies, I believe, have their first workout today. The full squad is working out today.
All right.
So that's good news. They did not lose. We're going to cling to that.
They're showing up for
workout. We're going to cling to that. So, and
keep him in prayer.
Spring training is in progress right now, so there is hope there. By the way, next Tuesday, Dave, you and I, we're headed to Archbishop Ryan High School in Northeast Philadelphia.
Yeah, anyone else joining us?
My alma mater, whatever.
Your alma mater?
I'm
looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun. I maybe even will take you on a little tour, show you my old locker. How's that?
Is this going to be welcome back, Gary?
I don't know. I hope they don't. It depends on their attitude. But no, I was a good student. I had fun.
Is Frank coming?
I don't know. That's up to him.
Well, yeah, we have to see.
We'll see if he's been. Frank is back on the scene today. Yeah. He's back with us. He had a trip for the past few days. We didn't destroy the studio.
He was kind of pleased.
Yeah, so that all worked out. But anyway, we're excited about visiting Archbishop Ryan. They have some special things planned for us.
That'll be
on Tuesday. And incidentally, our guest on that program will be our friend Dr. Greg Popcheck. He's going to be joining us by phone. Or joining us. What's going on today, Dave? My mouth is not
working. Are you getting
your
words wixed? Or what?
It's not supposed to work this way. This is not good for radio if you can't speak. But what a good week this was on Spirit.
Oh, it was. We had from Monday to now, awesome guests.
A lot of great
awesome
guests.
Topics. We covered a lot.
We did. And a reminder that tomorrow, Saturday at 12 noon, will be the best of Spirit of the Morning. So make sure you
We're still looking for it. No, we... All of them were good. It really is hard to pick because, this week especially, we think we did well.
Now, next week on the program, Monday, we'll be joined by Dr. Kevin Vost, who will be continuing his segment on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And also, I'm thrilled about this, Sister Ann Shields, a favorite of our Holy Spirit radio listeners, will be with us. Tuesday, live from Archbishop Ryan, Dr. Greg Popcheck, as I mentioned. Now, Wednesday, I'm traveling. I have to go to Mobile, Alabama, where I'm giving a talk that night. We're going to do a repeat show on Wednesday. We'll pick a best-of program. On Thursday, I'll be doing the show remotely. We're still working on our guests for that day. Friday on the program, Dan Burke will once again join us to further discuss this idea of discovery prayer.
What a segment today that was.
I love the way he set this up, that we can have a conversation with God as we read the Bible. And also, from the Dynamic Catholic Institute, Jack Beers will be with us, and he's going to talk about Matthew Kelly's Best Lent Ever program. This is a huge program. He does it every year. This year, it's based on his book, his best-selling book, Resisting Happiness. And I'm excited that we here at Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio, are going to be airing a Best Lent Ever segment each day on the show. So it's going to be a big part of what we do at Spirit of the Morning. So if you are looking to make this Best Lent Ever, and I recommend you make this your Best Lent Ever, and I recommend that you do, stick with us on Spirit of the Morning, and we're going to help you do that.
Yes, and tell your friends and family, and help spread the good news about Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, you can follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com, and as usual, if you need anything, email me at gary@holyspiritradio.org. I can't believe we are just about out of time. Remember, as I always tell you every day, and I really want you to remember this, wherever you go, whatever you do, you know the deal. The Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. We'll be happy to hear from you. Enjoy your weekend. God bless you. And God willing, we'll catch you next week. See ya.